Tick and Tock looked at the door, and then at each other. "Hmm," said Tick. "Hmm," said Tock.
"What does it mean?"
said Tick.
"What do you mean?" answered Tock.
"I mean, what's the meaning of it?" Tick replied.
"You're not making any sense, Tick," said Tock.
"Am I not?" said Tick.
"Let me put it this way. Where is the world?"
"The world?" said Tock.
"Yes, the world,"
repeated Tick.
"Where is it?"
"Well," said Tock, "it's through that door."
"Ah, I see," said Tick thoughtfully.
"Shall we, offer Tock?"
"Yes, I think we will," smiled Tick.
They turned the handle slowly and stuck their noses around the door.
"It's rather dark in there," said Tock.
"Yes, that will be due to the lack of light," replied Tick. "A match will help."
"That seems to make it darker," sniffed Tock.
"Couldn't we just feel our way?"
"Feel?"
said Tick, puzzled.
"Yes, feel. With our paws," suggested Tock.
"Well, there's no telling what you might come across," said Tick. "But we can try. Off to you, dear friend."
And so in they went, crawling through the darkness to look for the world.
Splash! "What was that?"
asked Tick.
"Water, I think," said Tock. "I shall taste it and see."
"Well," asked Tick again.
"No, not water," replied Tock.
"Milk, warmed milk. A big pond of warmed milk."
"Is that what the world is?"
asked Tick.
"Well, it seems like the world to us now," said Tock. "But I'm sure there must be more. Shall we go on?"
"Yes, but let's have a drink first. It would be a shame to waste good milk," said Tick.
So they drank and drank until the pond was gone, and then hurried on through the growing light to look for the world.
Boing!
"What was that?" said Tick.
"That," replied Tock, "was my hat."
"Does your hat often go boing?"
asked Tick. "No, it doesn't," said Tock a little crossly. "It goes boing when I fall down a hole."
"And why would you want to fall down a hole?"
said Tick.
"I didn't want to fall down a hole. It was an accident. Now, are you coming down here or am I going up there?" asked Tock.
"I think I'll come," started Tick.
Boing!
"Does your head often?"
asked Tock.
"No, it doesn't,"
said Tick very crossly.
"Where's my hat?"
"Over there," said Tock.
"By that green tricycle."
"By that what?"
said Tick in high excitement.
"Tock, I think we found the world."
"I don't think so," said Tock.
not quite sure if it was or not. I think it was just a machine for moving through the world, that's all.
Yes, but it's... It's splutatic. Oh, I suppose you're right. Shall we then?
Yes, I think we will. Small talk.
And so they set off on the tricycle to look for the world.
Whoosh!
Have you noticed something? Asked Tig.
What? Said Tuk.
This tricycle goes whoosh, answered Tig.
For me, it's more of a whoosh, said Tuk.
But perhaps it depends on which side you're on.
Nonsense, said Tig.
It is very definitely a wish, not a whoosh.
Maybe our ears are different, suggested Tuk.
Tig refused to answer.
Have you noticed something else? Said Tuk.
What? Said Tig grumpily.
It's light, said Tuk.
No answer.
It's light and we can see.
Still no answer.
It's light and I can see a big tree.
Where? Exclaimed Tig.
On top of that green hill, said Tuk.
Tuk, we found the world. Follow that tree on the double.
And so they raced up the hill, which was very hard work, to look for the world.
Well, said Tig, panting heavily, it's a wee tree.
You the tree? Breathed Tuk.
Yes, a weird tree, said Tig, that's lost its bark.
I would guess that this one is at least 1,004,000 years old.
Creaky, said Tuk. Is that how old the world is then?
If and only if, said Tig, this tree is the world.
Let us look more closely.
So they did, peering into the crack and running their hands over the silky wood.
What have you noticed, Tuk?
Asked Tig.
Oh, said Tuk. It's as if it has a skin, the fairest and smoothest of skins, with little ripples in it and...
No, Tuk, not that. Something much more important. Nails.
Nails?
Asked Tuk.
Nails, said Tig.
Three nails, to be precise.
Is that important? Asked Tuk.
It's odd, Tuk, said Tig.
Ah, I see. Do you suppose it hurts? Asked Tuk.
It may once have hurt, replied Tig.
But presumably doesn't anymore.
The tree is dead, Tuk.
Dead, really?
It's still very lovely, said Tuk.
Yes, said Tig. But it means that it can't be the world.
Does it?
Queried Tuk.
It does, confirmed Tig.
The world must be alive.
said Tuk. And with that, they hurtled down the other side of the hill to look for the world. They came to the top of a steep slope, with a little stream at the bottom and another steep slope rising on the opposite side. "These," said Tig. "It's a valley," Tuk.
"Oh," said Tuk, "do you suppose the world might be down there?"
"It very well might," said Tig. "But I think we should walk. I don't fancy riding up here again." So they left their tricycle at the top of the slope and walked slowly down the hill. At the bottom, they sat down and cooled their feet in the stream. Bees buzzed around the flowers, and a light breeze made waves in the long grass.
"Tick," said Tuk.
Said Tig, staring into the water.
"Would you say that this stream is alive?"
Said Tig, looking thoughtful.
"It is certainly a lively little stream, and lots of small creatures appear to be living in it and around it. But I would have to say that the stream itself is not alive."
"Ah," said Tuk a little sadly.
"So it can't be the world then."
"No, I suppose not," said Tig. A dragonfly went by.
"What if," began Tuk.
"What if what?" asked Tig.
"What if it were part of the world?" suggested Tuk.
"Do you mean the world might have dead bits and living bits, Tuk?"
said Tig.
"Well, yes, I suppose I do," said Tuk.
"What a clever idea, Tuk," said Tig.
"There's more," said Tuk.
"More? What more?" asked Tig.
"Well, stop me if I'm being silly," said Tuk. "But if the stream is part of the world, that might mean that is joined to the world. And if we follow it, we might perhaps..."
"But we can't follow it," said Tig. "Our tricycle won't work in water, will it?"
"Well, I thought," said Tuk hesitantly, "I thought we might go in that boat."
"Which boat, Tuk?" exclaimed Tig.
"Which boat?"
"That blue one over there with the fishing net," answered Tuk.
My, exploded Tig.
"We're on to something here, dear friend."
And with that, they jumped into the little boat and pushed off to look for the world.
They drifted gently down the stream, passing families of ducks on the water and songbirds in the bushes on the bank. Dragonflies settled on the prow of the boat.
"It is lovely," said Tuk dreamily.
Said Tig. "There is certainly a great variety of things that fly and many kinds of plants too. I shall have to give them names and list them in a book."
"Yes, I suppose you will have to," answered Tuk sleepily.
The sun was warm and the current getting stronger, and before long the two adventurers were sound asleep, the little boat gliding through the clear water to look for the world.
"Have you noticed something?" asked Tig.
Tuk snored. Took, wake up. There's something you should see, said Tig. Took rubbed his eyes, looked around, and wondered. Where on earth are we? All around them was nothing but water stretching as far as the eye could see. According to you, we're in the world, said Tig. But this can be it, said Took. There's nothing here, nothing but water and sky. Surely that can't be the world. Well, whatever it is, what I want to know is how we're going to get out of here, said Took grimly. I'm getting hungry. We could catch some fish, offered Took. Of course, said Tig. Quick, get the net over the side. But there weren't any fish. Try the other side, said Took. It doesn't make any difference which side, insisted Tig. It's the... Try, said Took. So they did. And before you could say lickety split, they had caught one handsome fish. They were about to make it into supper when something odd happened.
Don't eat me, said the fish. I'll tell you what you want to know if you throw me back into the sea.
Tick and Took stared at each other.
Most odd, said Tick. I thought the fish spoke.
I did,
the fish spluttered. Do you hear that, Took? Asked Tick.
I did, said Took.
It said, I did. So we agreed, said Tig. Remember that, Took, for I'm now going to talk to the fish. My good fish, Tig began somewhat formally. Am I to understand that if we throw you back into the sea, was that what you called it? If we throw you back into the sea, you will tell us what we want to know. Is that correct?
Yep,
said the fish. Good, said Tig. We'll throw you back. Now, where is the world? The sound of a fish giggling is a very unusual sound and impossible to write down, but on this occasion it went something like this. Zip-click. I beg your pardon, said Tig. What was that? Said the fish. Ah, I see, said Tig, looking at Took. Of course, yes, of course. And with that, the fish leapt out of the boat back into the water, where it splashed about happily and disappeared into the deep. There goes supper, said Tig mournfully. He was interrupted by the fish poking its nose above the water.
Come on then, it said. Follow me if you want to find the world.
What? Down there? Said Tig. But we'll get all wet.
Come on, Tig, said Took. Maybe the fish knows. So over the side they went with a squish, and squash to look for the world. About half a minute later, Tick and Took looked at each other through the green water, pointed at the light and kicked fiercely upwards, breaking the surface with a lot of splashing and spluttering. "Well, well," heaved Tick, gasping for breath. "It's all very well to say follow me, but some of us are obviously not made for the world." "Maybe the fish is part of the world too," suggested Took. "Like the stream, and so it's quite happy down there." "Very clever, Took. But how can it be the world if he can't get into it?" sputtered Tick. "But we can get into it," said Took. "It's just that we can only visit in a short bursts. It does look very beautiful down there, doesn't it? All blue and green with shadows and silvery fish." "No, Took, it won't do. The world is somewhat where we can stay as long as we like," stated Tick. "Oh," said Took. A gull flew by. "By the way," mumbled Took, "where's the boat?" "The gasped Tick. "Oh dear me, it's gone. Whatever shall we do now?" Said Took. "We could try the seaplane." "The red one behind you over there?" said Took. "Marvelous," cried Tig. "Why don't you see? It follows that if the world isn't underwater, which we have proved, and it isn't here, which is obvious, it must be up there. There's nowhere else it could possibly be." And so they scrambled into the plane and took off into the air to look for the world. "It's very big down there," shouted Took, the engine making a terrible noise.
"What? What do you say?"
Below Tick, the wind whistling and rushing around him.
"I said," said Took, "it's very big down there."
"Yes, big," agreed Tick.
"In fact, so big," said Took, "that although I'm sure you must be right, and the world is up here, now that we're up here, it rather seems to be down there."
"What was that?"
hollered Tick.
"Never mind," shouted Took. "You can't hear me up here."
"You can't what?"
"I said..." "Oh, never mind," said Took.
"I've just had a thought," yelled Tick. "Suppose that everything down there is part of the world. The fish, the boat, the sea, the streams, the bees, the tricycle, the tree, the nails, the milk, everything."
"Who'd have thought it?" shouted Took.
"You'd have what?" said Took.
"Yes, yes," screamed Took. "That must be the world down there, but why can you only see it when you're not in it, huh?"
"Well, the thing is that you can only see it when you're not in it," said Took. "Do you see? It's most important thing that you see that."
Took decided that it was better not talk and looked around him. Above and below, left and right, front and back. The sky was huge,
with great puffy clouds going pink and violet and golden in the light of the setting sun, and the land below was dusky with flashes of silvery gold in the river. And then a very small and simple thought came to him and grew until he was quite sure and simply had to tell Tig. "It's not just down there," he shouted over the engine noise. "It's up here too. It's everywhere. Everywhere." "A furry bear?" queried Tig hoarsely. "No, no," laughed Tug. "Everywhere. The world is everything." And then Tig understood as well and was so happy that he started doing the barrel turns and loops the loops for joy. "But then, don't you see," he shouted, "if the world is everywhere, that means that wherever we are in it. We are part of it, we belong in it. And the only reason that we couldn't find it was that we weren't looking for it. Do you see?" "Yeah, I see," laughed Tug. "Funny, isn't it?" And just at the moment the plane ran out of fuel and they crash landed right at the spot where they'd started. Tig and Tug stared at the door and at the plane and then at each other. "Hmm," said Tig. "Hmm," said Tug.